All right, well, say it with me one time, Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. If you play that word in Scrabble, you will win. That's all I'm saying. I know it's a proper name and everything, but you will dominate. We are currently in a sermon series we're calling Little Guys of the Bible. It's a sermon series where we are looking at not the big characters of the Bible, but the small ones, those that get overlooked. And this morning we come to the story of Mephibosheth, a little man with a long name, someone who came from a great lineage, the lineage of Saul, the grandson of Saul, the son of Jonathan, but a man who was living in hiding as new powers had assumed the throne. We're going to look at Mephibosheth's story, but before we do, will you join with me in a word of prayer? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are our potter. We are your clay. Melt us and mold us, make us and use us, have thine own way. Amen. Well, a United Methodist bishop by the name of Woody White tells the story of receiving a phone call late one Friday afternoon from a stranger who asked if he could meet with the bishop right away. Now, a stranger on the phone was upset. He said what he needed to discuss with the bishop was urgent. He said it was a matter of life and of death. So Bishop White told him to come to his office as quickly as he could. Within the half hour, the man showed up, and he began sharing stories of a troubled and a chaotic life. The man stood atop a mountain of regret, and after he told Bishop White what he had done and what he was still doing, it was clear this regret was well earned. At one point in the conversation, he said to Bishop White this. He said, you know, even if other people could forgive me, I'm not sure I could forgive myself. Even if other people could love me, just not sure I could love myself anymore. The man was ashamed. He was ashamed of who he was. He was ashamed of what he had become. There's an American author by the name of Brené Brown who once said, "Guilt is the feeling we experience when we make a mistake, but shame is the feeling we experience when we believe we are a mistake. And shame is that feeling that drives you into hiding. Shame is a feeling that forces you into isolation where you hope that you will never be found again. You see, the scripture says Mephibosheth went into hiding when he was just 5 years old. He was driven into isolation when he was just a child, hoping that he would never be found once more. His nurse had taken him to a little town called Lodabar, hoping that no one would think to look for him there. Mephibosheth was, well, he was ashamed. Not only did he believe he had made mistakes in his life, he believed he was a mistake. You see, he came from a disgraced family. His grandfather had lived a troubled and a chaotic life. Mephibosheth sat atop a mountain of remorse, and there was nothing he could do to change it. He was a cripple, an orphan, unable to care for himself. What does a name like Mephibosheth actually mean? What does it translate to in English? Well, in Hebrew, it literally translates into this: Mephibosheth, from the mouth of shame. He was the last person in his family still alive. He was worried that he would be next. Mephibosheth's greatest fear was that one day he would be discovered. And that's what happens when you live a life of shame. You end up living a life on the run. You end up living a life in fear, worried that one day people will find you. Legend has it the great British novelist Sir Arthur Conan Doyle once decided to play a trick on some of his closest friends. All of his friends were valuable and upstanding members of society. Now, for his practical joke, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle sent out a dozen telegrams to his friends with the same message written on each. The telegram he sent said this. It said, "Flee at once! Your secret is discovered!" Story goes, within 24 hours, all 12 men had left the country. Seven simple words, and they went into hiding in foreign lands. That's what shame can do. And can lead you to withdraw from the world because you don't want people to know your true identity. Mephibosheth went to Lodabar, hoping that no one would find him there. But of course, no matter how much you try, no matter how hard you attempt it, you can't hide forever. Now, you can't keep your secrets hidden forever. Sooner or later, someone will discover it. Sooner or later, you will be found. And so King David said to his followers, "Is there still anyone left in the house of Saul to whom I may show kindness? Is there any descendant of Jonathan I can bless?" And when King David learned that Jonathan had a son, he called for the boy, and he said to him, "Do not be afraid, Mephibosheth, for I will show you kindness. And I will restore to you the land of your grandfather Saul. And you shall eat at my table always." You see, Mephibosheth, he had spent his entire life running from the king, afraid that the king would judge him and find him unworthy. He had spent his entire life living in shame, feeling that he was a mistake, not realizing that he was exactly the person the king wanted to bless. Despite all the mistakes of his family, despite all of the remorse he had carried with him for far too long, the king welcomed Mephibosheth to his table. He treated him like his very own son. You see, Bishop White said he spoke with the man for 45 minutes, listening to all the regret he carried with him, a regret that he had carried for far too long. At one point in the conversation, the man said to Bishop White this. He said, "I just can't go on anymore." He said, "No one loves me." He said, "My wife doesn't love me. My kids don't love me. My friends don't love me. God," he said, "God does not love me." Bishop White stopped him. He said, "Sir, let me tell you about the God I serve." He said, "There is nothing you can do to earn God's love, and there is nothing you can do to lose God's love." "Bishop," the man replied, "Bishop, that is heavy." But Bishop White just shook his head. He said, "No." He said, "No, sir, that is grace." See, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, that one is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. And that means you don't have to run anymore. That means that there's no reason to hide anymore, because the very king that you thought was going to bring judgment in your life, well, that is the very king that has come to restore you. That means you don't have to live in shame. Because even though we've all made mistakes, God says you are not a mistake. God said, "You are the very person I created you to be, and there is nothing you can do to lose that love. Because I'm with you always," he said. "You're a child of God, adopted into a family of grace that's far more beautiful than you could ever imagine." And here's the thing, even when everything is discovered, even when all your secrets are made known, Jesus still says to you, "Do not be afraid, for I will show you kindness." And that's what it means to be part of the family of God. That's what it means to be part of this community of faith. It means recognizing that none of us are perfect. All of us walk with a limp. We are all crippled. And yet God loves us anyway. And that, Bishop White said, that, well, that's grace. I was talking to a church member a couple weeks ago whose son spent his entire childhood in getting into trouble. It started all the way back when the boy was in kindergarten. On the first day of kindergarten, he received a note from the teacher saying it hadn't been a good experience, that he needed to work on his behavior. He was just 5 years old. And the note went into a file that she kept. And over the years, the file, well, it got thicker and thicker and thicker as more and more slips of paper were added. What started out as teacher's reports soon became juvenile arrest records. Then they turned into psychiatric evaluations. They eventually became criminal arrest records. The weight of the file, it grew heavy. The woman said to me, she said, you know, I kept that file on my son until he was around 30 years old. But then one day, she said, one day I just got sick of it. I looked at the file, I looked at everything in it, and I realized that this file, it does not define my love for my child. And so I decided to do something about it. And so I went into my office and I pulled out our paper shredder. And I sat there and I took each and every sheet of that paper and I put it through the shredder until that file was empty. And now, she said, well, now there is nothing left. She said to me, you know, I have to believe God's love for us, it's got to be something like that. Yes, do not be afraid, David said to Mephibosheth, for I will show you kindness. I will restore to you the land of your grandfather Saul, and you shall eat at my table always. May you go forth from this place and may you remember who you are. You are a child of God. You have been invited to eat at the king's table. May you remember and believe that your sins have been forgiven and that you have been made new, and may you stop running because you are not a mistake. Instead, God says, you are exactly the person I made you to be. May you be part this family of God. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Loving God, as far as the east is from the west, you say your forgiveness covers us. And so we thank you that you came not in judgment, but you came in grace. You came for restoration. So create in us a clean heart, O God. Put a right spirit within us, that we might live our days knowing our true identity, and that we might be remembered. God, thank you for the gift of your Son, Christ Jesus, the one who died and rose for our sake. And for it's in his name we pray. Amen.